everyone. Welcome in Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Into the knockout round.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff is already weird.
Look, everything was kind of weird beforehand.
It's keeping the weirdness.
The weirdness is... Should we start a hashtag, like, keep the World Cup weird? You know, like...
Like Portland?
Keep Portland weird. I've also seen Louisville adopt that as well. Keep Louisville weird. So, regardless, let's start that hashtag. Keep the World Cup weird.
Let's keep it. Okay.
It has been weird, and we're going to talk quite a bit today about the weirdness of it. All the big sides that have been knocked out to this point, some bigger than you think, some smaller than you think. It's kind of interesting. Went and did a little bit of a breakdown by FIFA rankings, so have that coming for you. We'll also talk a little bit about the matches still to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get into something you suggested, great idea, one that I think everyone can commiserate with, World Cup ad campaigns that you wish were dead.
I mean, at this point, we wish they were all dead because we're getting the same, like, four commercials every single commercial break.
It's back, like, in the early days of American soccer television viewing when you'd watch, you know, Fox Soccer World or Fox Sports World or Fox Soccer, and they would have, like, just the same four freaking commercials.
And they were, like, very infomercially.
Oh, yeah. Penny Talk. We'll forever remember Penny Talk. So, anyway, we'll get into which World Cup ads we wish went the way of Penny Talk. And then we're going to do what we've been doing on all these World Cup specials. We're going to go back into a previous World Cup. Mm-hmm. We're going back in time. 2006 World Cup is up on deck today. So we'll be tackling that. Had a couple good responses that we'll share from those who shared on social media. Of course, winners and wankers like we normally do. So we've got a full slate. These have been long ones.
Yeah, they really have. I didn't see that happening.
No.
And so I was like, we're just talking about just a handful of games.
For whatever reason, we just tend to ramble on a little bit through these.
We're rambling.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see where this one ends up tonight. But let's go ahead and start with the main topic, and that is big teams crashing out left and right, or so it seems.
Big teams falling.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want to start with? I guess the biggest and the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
Germany.
Yeah. Number one ranked Germany.
Yeah.
Not even making it. Like, we're talking about we're into the group state or into the knockout rounds now. This isn't even a knockout round casually. Germany, of course, exiting at the group stage, finishing on the outside looking in a group that was literally bonkers up until the final minutes of group play. So that's hands down the biggest surprise, I think, of all the group stage casualties. We both had them as favorites, didn't we? Or did you have France?
I have France as my winner. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty good about that right now.
Yeah, I bet you are. I, however, am not. I'm fairly certain I picked Germany to be my winners. I think plenty of people did as well. So I'm certainly not alone in that respect. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. I was listening to the Football Ramble, mm-hmm. which is an English podcast. And those guys were talking about, like, this feels like a brand new game because Germany are always there. Like, you inevitably know that at some point you're going to have to come up against them,
right,
most likely.
You pencil Germany in for, like, the semifinals.
At least. Yeah. And here they are. They've crashed out at the group stage. And it's opened up, like, an entire side of the bracket, which, to the point, made for one of the highlights of the World Cup so far, which was England and Belgium trying to lose while not – trying to look like they were trying
the
to
the best was people started taking shots at those performances.
Oh yeah.
First of all, I mean, it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
It backfired on them, but, like, Belgium definitely went into that going, hey, we don't want to win. They started Adnan Januzaj.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he scored the goal.
Yeah, which is even better. It's kind of one of those, there's always one guy on the team who really doesn't know what's up, and it's kind of like, oh Adnan, Damn it.
You know that guy that struggled at Sunderland and was still somehow on Belgium's World Cup squad?
You never know. He was great that one half year at United. When he
But Germany, I mean, it's crazy. The, you know, that Toni Kroos goal there.
The wonder goal.
To wonder strike there off the free kick at the death to beat Sweden. Like, that is a distant, foggy memory at this moment.
Yeah,
like,
it's almost been overwritten, which is incredible given how great that goal was and how it kind of seemed to have rescued Germany's World Cup chances. And I think everyone kind of expected that they would not only win, but, you know, kind of all right now they've gotten themselves going.
Yeah, okay, they got it figured out. They had the little, you know, match day one stumble against Mexico, but they got things sorted now, and they're just going to be on a tear. Yeah. They're going to peak at the right time.
That is, that's not what happened.
No. I guess here's a question with Germany. I think, and we can look at this with all, you know, the four big clubs that are now, or countries that are now heading to the couch for the rest of the World Cup. Were there signs coming? Like, did we just get lost in the mystique of some of these countries and not, like, sit there and, like, actually analyze these rosters and go, like, wow, they got some holes.
Well, I think, you know, Germany missed, like, a dynamic playmaker, right? Like, someone who could kind of unlock things. Maybe a little bit like a Leroy Sané. And his exclusion, I think, was probably the first kind of flag that popped up for a lot of people, I would imagine, where it was kind of like, really? Like, you're leaving off this 22-year-old wonder kid who's a regular starter for Manchester City, who people were making arguments for being the best club team of all time, not just, like, you know, in England. And so that was a bit of a warning. But also, you look at their friendlies in the lead up to it. They were kind of flat, didn't look spectacular. They qualified forever ago. So, like, they've not had an actual meaningful match in well over a year. To me, maybe those were signs that people weren't looking through. But there's been this repeating trend, and we heard all about it when Germany were knocked out. This is four out of the last five winners have been knocked out in the group stage. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised, given what we've kind of experienced in recent history. But maybe those were the only warning signs we really had. But you still look up and down that squad and go, man, they probably would have been fine.
Right.
And should have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't see any other warning signs that were overt.
So they finished fourth.
Yeah, that's
they that's finished fourth in the group.
You know what's wild is, you know, going into their World Cup win in 2014, there was this idea of how Germany had remade themselves after they'd had some supposed failures. This is, again, a team that's never lost before this stage in the World Cup, right? Like, they always, or excuse me, not lost, but never been knocked out at this stage. And how Germany, like, reformatted their whole youth setup and development to get themselves back and relevant and win things. Now, like, they're kind of in the same type of position that we've kind of been in the last few years. And everyone's been like, oh, we need to base things off of Germany. We need to base things off of Germany. How does Germany reboot from this, right? Like, they've already revamped their youth setup. What is it that they need to do to actually change things? It's just a really interesting to see how they would react. Like, right now in the U.S., everyone's trying to burn it down and build it up like Germany.
Right.
Germany, you would imagine, probably want to burn something down and try to rectify
it. I mean, I saw some tweet talking about how, you know, it was – people used to say, oh, we need to be like Spain. We need to be like Spain. And then it was like, oh, we need to be like Germany. And it's like, well, now what? What do you want to be like?
Which one are we going to be? Especially considering where Spain ended up today as well. So it's just a really interesting situation, especially as we go through kind of parallels – along those lines of rebirth as we try to recover from some sort of disaster.
Let's move on to the next big club who is on the outside looking in. Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
This one, okay. Signs, warning signs were not really around for Germany.
Yeah.
There were definite warning signs for this one.
They pretty much had, like, warning signs. Like, it was the sign they were bearing. Like, you may as well replace the Argentinian flag with a white flag.
Yeah.
They limped into this tournament.
Mm-hmm. You know, people, yeah, one-man team.
You know, everyone was talking about them as favorites. I heard a lot of people talking about how Argentina as favorites in the lead-up
I feel like those people outed themselves as people that, like, hadn't checked in since, like, the last World Cup, and they're like, oh,
they were finalists in the last one, and they had Messi, and they really just, you know, they had to just barely on the last day of qualification, and results helped them as well. They could have been in the playoff positions. They could have finished on the outside looking in entirely, so there was that.
Yeah, yeah, they lucked out getting by last Tuesday against Nigeria, scoring late with Rojos is getting the goal. Not really the guy you would imagine being the hero there.
Mm-hmm.
The Manchester United defender. I think the part where I go, here's your red flag. And it was what almost stopped them from progressing and a change that they made instantly. They had three bad keepers to choose from.
Oh, there were no good options.
So they had Willie Caballero, mm-hmm. who is a backup goalkeeper in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He went full Willie Caballero in their match against Croatia.
Yeah.
And got himself benched. Then they went to River Plate's Franco Armani.
Who?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And that's who they went with the rest of the time. They also had Guzman from Tigres. Not the names they don't have good keepers.
No.
And that showed quite well that was a big problem for them. Also, they have big names
mm-hmm.
in defense. But this is a side that just didn't defend very well.
Well, it's all guys that have kind of gone through like checkered
right.
paths. You know, like Rojo made his name at the last World Cup
mm-hmm.
and has really not capitalized on the move to United in any capacity. Otamendi is probably their like biggest name. He obviously plays at City. He had a bit of a renaissance year at City this year. When a lot of people doubted him after his first year.
Yeah. Mascherano is
195 like? Years old, or at least that's how slow he looked out there. It's a defense that is prone to it. Like, everyone forgets that Mascherano is actually a converted defender too, right? Like, he's not actually a guy that grew up playing on the back line. He's actually a holding mid that's been moved back there in Barcelona's system. So, there are a lot of them. I think another big warning sign was actually like their pre-World Cup buildup when they had to cancel their friendly in Israel over like political chaos.
That's
right?
always good.
And that they even scheduled it in the current climate is one of those things that you just have to kind of wonder, like, what are these this entire organization doing? If you can remember, like, it was a year or two ago mm-hmm. that the Argentine president was literally cast out. Imprisoned for money laundering, and then I think it was money laundering, and then and they've had all this.
I'm sure
chaos
that played a role at the very least.
Messi. Remember, Messi retired from the national team for a little bit,
yeah,
and then came back out of retirement. Like, that's the chaos that was in that unfolded before this World Cup. So there were loads of signs. Unlike with Germany, Argentina were waving their flags all over the place. But obviously, they went down today to France,
right.
who were just unbelievably inspiring. A really fun match, ultimately. Probably way more fun than I think a lot of people would have anticipated it to
right.
be. Kylian Mbappe, he's arrived.
I like how, like, I mean, obviously, if you follow soccer, like, this was a household name.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he just kind of became, like, a, like, just legitimate household name, like, with just people that just...
Overnight.
Yeah, people that just watch SportsCenter.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, now people will know about him, and now, you know, the number of people that were tweeting at the FC Cincinnati team account, like, sign Mbappe, it's like, look, you guys do remember, you do realize he was literally just purchased for over 200 million euros, so...
I thought about tweeting that out, like, man, this Mbappe guy's really going to get himself a big big money move here.
It's Major League Soccer, maybe. So, yeah, it was an amazing game. The one thing that really sticks out from the performance, he obviously was really good, but that run that he had to earn the penalty where he just found another gear after already having sprinted like two-thirds of the field and just flew around that corner. One of those mind-boggling moments. He's also the only teenager aside from Pelé to score two goals in a knockout game in a World Cup match. So, I think we'll be hearing a bit
not
more
bad
about him.
Company to have there.
No.
Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Your other quote unquote one man team that is no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
This one was the more surprising one, I think, of the two. I think Argentina, as we said, had definitely their faults, and you just could see that unless Messi was going to do something, this team didn't have a whole lot going on.
Right.
With Portugal, I felt like as a team, they were playing well enough. I mean, Ronaldo was obviously doing some big things there. But, you know, this is a team that we just saw win the Euros.
Mm-hmm.
they had it in them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To do a better job than they did. But I don't know. I don't know if you just chalk it up to this was one of those things where they played that match 10 more times with Uruguay and they probably win it 7 of them.
I don't know. I mean, I think Uruguay are a scrappy team. They're the type of team that is going to win a game.
Well,
against a team like Portugal, who are maybe not necessarily going to make them pay for their mistakes.
Well, and everything went to plan for Uruguay.
Yeah.
Oh, they got their early goal, mm-hmm. and then were able to just bottle it up and mm-hmm. make it very difficult for Portugal to do anything.
Yeah. Huge match for Cavani. Someone who's maybe not gotten the international plaudits, at least at this stage, right?
Right.
He's very well known in European soccer circles, obviously. But this was a big match for him, getting 2 goals in there and lifting Uruguay past Portugal. Portugal is a little surprised me, number 4 in the world. I didn't quite realize they were ranked that high. Not that FIFA rankings are the ultimate arbiter of how things should go. But just kind of mind-boggling that Portugal were 4 and Uruguay were 14. I'm not going to get too much more into these FIFA rankings now because I literally went through and looked up everyone's rankings.
I feel like, yeah.
They just kind of give you a breakdown on all these. But I know there are some other big ones that you probably wanted to talk about that mm-hmm. are now sitting on their way out. How about Spain? Twice removed world champion, Spain.
Spain is now out as of today as they lose to the host side, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Went all the way... 2 pens, and wow.
Yeah. Spain looked like they were going to run away with this kind of earlier on.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos kind of forcing an own goal out of, I'm going to butcher the dude's last name, so I'm just going to avoid it, early on. And they had their chances. They murdered them in possession. I think possession was somewhere in the 70% range for a good chunk of the first half. And just Spain doing what they do, they just can't create goals. Like, they look really good all the way up until that final third.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they were punished for that as Russia were able to find a way back in with a penalty of their own. I would argue the correct call against Gerard Piqué. Arm up in the air.
Yeah. That's not a natural position.
And that leveled it, and they went all the way through extra time. And then Igor Akinfeev.
You want to say Akinfenwa right there.
I did.
It's not.
I wanted to so badly.
No, he actually, I believe, would only qualify for either Nigeria or England.
Neither is what happened.
No, neither.
Yeah.
Neither caps.
But Igor Akinfeev, CSKA Moscow's starting goalkeeper, and it comes up huge in the shootout, saving 2 of the Spanish efforts, and puts the host through. What some might consider the largest upset in World Cup history.
Whoa, really?
It's been bandied about. I'm not suggesting that I believe that's the case, but it's up there as far as like teams that had really low expectations before the World Cup against teams that had relatively high ones. Can't necessarily fault that too much. So big result for the Russians and equally embarrassing result for Spain, especially given that they didn't exactly paint themselves in glory over in Brazil last time out.
De Gea had a not-so-awesome World Cup.
On the whole, he just had a bad World Cup.
Yeah.
Just didn't look good, really, at any point.
I mean, yeah, you had the first match out, you have that goal against Ronaldo where mm-hmm. he goes down, plays it, and just sprays right off of him.
Yeah, it was very out of character for him.
He only saw one shot on target against Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It went in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Spain historically and of recent times as well, they don't give up a whole lot of opportunities.
Right.
He only faced like 8 shots the entire tournament, and he let like 6 of them in.
Yeah.
Which doesn't bode well for
him. No, that's not a good average.
Maybe at this point, Manchester United were going, ooh, we should have cashed in on those big money offers from Real Madrid. Could have gotten a lot more money for him now than we would at this point. So
Spain, we talked about De Gea struggling. We talk about just not having the ability to finish. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that just comes down to a more potent striker. I mean, we watched World Cup tonight. They were just talking about how Diego Costa, who ends up getting subbed out a little over an hour into this match today, only touched the ball like 5 times.
Yeah.
What, I mean, is it just boiled down to the kind of those 2 points you go, hey, this is what was lacking? Or was there more to it?
I I don't know.
I mean, I do look at the fact, like, you look at the substitutions they made today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two of their substitutions, they're subbing in old dudes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Iniesta, who, by the way, retired in the immediate aftermath of the match, at least from international plays, moving on to Japan, obviously, from Barcelona. It's definitely a fading generation there, right? Mm-hmm. This is the last flicker of the golden generation of Spain's, glory years, right? They've been on the backside of this incredible run, and now I think we're starting to see that fade out, and they just haven't found the answers to transition at this point, and there's a lot of good, positive young players coming up through the ranks, but they're just not quite ready to shine yet, apparently.
So with those guys out, as you said, things are wide open.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. It's entirely incredible.
If you're France, if you're Belgium, if you're England, you are licking your chops, going like, "Holy crap, we have a real shot to do this."
Like all these big sides are down.
You have essentially four big names left, right?
Yeah,
right? Brazil, Belgium, France, England, right?
Yeah. And only France out of that quartet is actually through to the next round. Like we could see some of these other big guys still fall out. So,
true.
We talked about like all these big teams that have fallen out, and I was a little curious, like ranking wise. And again, FIFA rankings are a little dubious at best, but I wanted to see like, where were all these teams that have been knocked out? Where do they kind of fall in the spectrum of the rankings? Germany, we talked about, number one ranked team in the world. They're obviously out. The only other team in the top 10 to not advance out of the first round, though, Poland.
Yeah.
Also a side that crashed out far earlier and finished bottom of their group, unlike people expected them to. The only other one that's in the top 20 is Peru at number 11, and they, of course, also finished bottom of their group. So just from that point on, everyone else were people that you would have expected to fall 20 and down.
Right.
Then you look into the round of 16, we've seen number 4, Portugal, fall. Number 5, Argentina, falling to number 7, France. Spain were number 10, so maybe a little bit of a sign that they weren't quite as good as advertised. Falling to number 70, Russia, which is like just, again, mind-boggling. It gives you an idea
of
how poor this Russian side really was. Denmark were number 12, falling to number 20, Croatia. Croatia suspiciously low. But
if you look at Croatia, I mean, they've had a good tournament so far. And they also, like, they have three, like, top-level guys that are carrying that team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Luka Modric, by the way, one of those. And, of course, he missed a penalty today.
Yeah.
So, just one of those things that, even the top level, the good players that have missed penalties in this tournament, by the way, Ronaldo.
Yep.
Messi.
Yep.
Christian Eriksen missed his in the shootout.
Lovely.
And then obviously Modric as well. It's just a pretty lofty set of players that that weren't converting at the highest stage. And then looking at the player or the teams that are still left, Brazil are at number 2, playing number 15, Mexico. Belgium at number 3, playing number 60, Japan. I didn't realize Japan were quite that far down the...
I figured they were down there, but 60
was a bit lower than I was expecting. And then 24, Sweden at number 6, Switzerland. Switzerland criminally overranked. And then number 16, Colombia at number 12, England. So we could see a couple of these bigger sides, but it's always interesting to see who is actually a big side, at least in the eyes of the FIFA ranking system. Now that we talked about all that, loads of awesome games yet to come. By the time you've listened to this, you've definitely already learned some of those results. So we won't bother you with predictions in that sense. But we should talk about things that we want to be rid of at this point. And let's talk about those ads that we're all growing just a little sick of at this point.
All right. So I do think there is one good ad out there.
Yeah. There's one.
It's the Adidas ad.
Oh, really? You think the Adidas one's the one?
With, like, all the people in it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, outside of the fact that, like, Pharrell's in it at the end, and he just feels... He just has, like, there's an air about him, like, yeah, I'm totally meant to be in this.
Yeah.
Like, really? Pharrell?
Well, he's one of their biggest, celebrity signings. Like, he has his own shoe line with them. I, in fact, own 2 pair of those shoes.
Well, I was inspired to say something about the youth of today, but...
Yeah.
Apparently also the
middle-aged
white guys up today.
Yeah, well, social media manager there for you. You know, I don't dislike that ad. I like it. I think it's one of the better ones.
I think that's what I come to expect mm-hmm. out of the World Cup ads. Like, you think of all the really good ones we've had down through the years, it's always been either Nike or Adidas making an amazing ad where mm-hmm. they just chock it full with every single soccer player that they have under contract.
Yeah, usually loads of fun.
Yeah.
It is the best of the – I can't even think what Nike's ad is this World Cup. I don't know that they've done like one singular one. No. They always used to balance in that way, but I think the World Cup packages are probably now sold mm-hmm. in a way that the sponsors actually get main
right.
billing within the advertising packages. That's a good one. I think the best one is the Geico one.
Really? You like the Geico
one? I like the Geico one. I don't know what it is about it.
I liked the Geico one.
But you've grown tired of it.
Yeah, I'm way past it.
I just, there's something about seeing a guy that's sliding on his knees. Like
doing
forever.
Like the robot. That is the best part right there is when he does,
when
like
he does the robot. I like when he goes by the support or the other team's bench and he's pointing at him. Like, that's my favorite part of that.
When he grabs the flag and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, it's great.
I thought that was a really funny, clever commercial. Mm-hmm. It also plays every single break to the point
where you're sick of seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Like, when you do a commercial that is comedy-based,
mm-hmm. the cleverness wears
people
off.
People only want to see hear a joke one, you know,
couple times.
One time, two times, yeah. And time number 50, it's just not hitting. It's just not hitting the way it was.
I'm sorry that it's not hitting you in the pleasure spots any longer.
It definitely isn't.
All right, so we've talked about ones that we find acceptable.
Okay.
Let's get into some of the crap.
Trash.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Pepsi one, where they're just like kicking blue paint all over the joint.
Now when I hear the song, I just, every time when I hear the song.
Now you have to go hear it.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to pull it up.
Yeah. It's like, all right, so we got some Pepsi. We're in like some nondescript European,
yeah, and all these stars are just known about, like taking three jacks.
Hey, I'm Deli Ali, and I'm going to kick this blue ball, and oh, almost hit that lady instead of hit a wall.
And then I get hit, and I'm going to be totally okay with it. Imagine how mad Deli Ali.
Because Tony Kill just fired one out.
Yeah. I really struggle with the idea that people were able to hit the balls in these.
Yeah. Wouldn't it just lateral?
Yeah, like every time you kick it, you almost have to. So we won't humor everyone with the rest of the commercial, but, it's one of the worst parts of it.
I like also that they felt like obligated to like, we got to get one American in there.
Oh yeah. Who should we get? Not Christian. No, let's go with Carly Lloyd. Carly Lloyd, totally relevant to this World Cup. I'm not opposed to Carly Lloyd being in it.
She's a World Cup winner.
She deserves to be in it. She, twice, not reigning World Player of the Year, but. Oh, no, she is currently World Reigning Player of the Year and going up against Messi, obviously, who's not reigning World Player of the Year. But All that said, the worst part of it, hands down, has to be the awkward high-five smile combination that Cruz and Marcelo give each other.
Do you think that's because, and because this happens a lot with these commercials,
mm-hmm.
that they weren't actually in the same room when that was shot? Ooh. And that they digitally combined them in there.
But given that they both play for the same club team,
I don't know.
I feel fairly confident they were probably, like, that looked like it could have been in Spain, didn't it?
That's the other thing. Like, where's this supposed to be? It didn't look like Russia. Maybe it's Spain?
Yeah, I think it was definitely Spain.
I mean,
it was sunny. It, you know, had those just kind of. It definitely wasn't England, right?
Right. Definitely wasn't that.
Perhaps it
could
have been
Paris. Mainland Europe.
Yeah. Regardless, it was awful. That song by Major Lazer is forever stuck in my
it's
brain.
It's not a good song.
But if there's one ad that I would kill right now, it would be the Pepsi ad.
Okay, so that one's pretty bad. The Volkswagen commercials.
Yeah, they need to go.
I mean, I am a Jetta owner.
Yeah.
And I hate these ads.
They're just really bad.
Because they suck on multiple levels.
Uh-huh.
One, not that clever.
Yeah.
Like, first time through, didn't go, oh, wow, that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that was cute. It sucked from the get.
It was like, what stereotypes can we play on for every single...
Like, I almost want to see the casting call.
Yeah.
And how ridiculous it was. Like, we're looking for people to play stereotypical Germans.
Yeah. There's minimal representation. Like, they pick the obvious ones from South America, right? Argentina and Brazil get picked. But there's nothing from, like, Central America. And there's totally nothing from Africa or Asia.
Right.
Like... Unbelievable. And maybe we...
Probably for the best.
Probably.
I mean, we saw the stereotypes they went with for a guy in Sweden.
Imagine what if they'd picked a Nigerian, like what they would have done. Just imagine it. It could have been worse.
Could have been real bad.
It could have been worse. I'm giving you some perspective on this.
An international incident created over it.
Over advertising, yeah. The other one that's really bad that's in their stable, and I don't think it gets enough hate, is the Volkswagen one where they where it's Alexei and Rob Stone driving around and picking up ethnic stereotypes.
That was weird.
Yeah. It was really bad. And then they do this slow ole ole chant that no one in the car clearly wants to do. And then they flash to a minute later and everyone's having a great old time. Like Alexei and Rob Stoner got them all raged for it. So, yeah.
I mean, guys to get people raging. In a car. It's Lawless and Stone.
Lawless 100% putting on his own CD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you want to put some music? Actually, I brought a little something I'm working on.
I also brought one for each of you. So, yeah, those are pretty bad as well.
Those are bad. I'm trying to think there was another... other bad ones.
I'm okay for anything that's Mexico and Landon Donovan related to be...
The Wells Fargo one, I'm fine with.
It needs to go.
It's shockingly somehow found its way to be the least offensive one in my book.
I just, the whole, $150 alert on the one t-shirt that he bought there.
What? Yeah, you bought a t-shirt.
For $150?
All right. I tell you what, though. Landon's in a second commercial that he, like, they didn't bother to ever zoom in on him.
Yeah.
He's in that Verizon ad.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, like, it's weird because, like, unless you know it's Landon, like, they never really, like there's no, like, one shot, that would be called, of Landon. Like, we're just focus in, profile shot there of him.
Where someone's talking to him and he's just smiling.
Yeah, no, it's just the guy from Silicon Valley doing his, like, you know,
geeky,
goofy,
nerdy
beta male shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And then Landon's just like, hey, yeah, that's cool. And then, like, he says something about, like, oh, yeah, you should play soccer. And then Landon says, like, seriously. And then that's the commercial.
And that's the end of it.
And, like, again, at no point in time are they like, hey, let's make sure we get a good shot of Landon so that, you know, knows who this even is.
I'm not going to look it up now, but let's just pretend that they didn't even say his name. Unless you
they
were
don't.
Like a U.S.
They
soccer
don't.
Insider.
No, hold on. They don't.
Is it on the screen at all?
No.
Like, U.S. soccer star Landon Donovan?
No.
Mexican soccer
how
fan? Because
they would
Landon
have to
Donovan?
Also point an arrow, because, again, they don't zoom in enough for you to be like, wait, so which one is?
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. It's how it should be.
Okay. That one just irks me on that level, too. It's like, guys, you're not even, like, even identifying the guy you paid to be in this ad.
No.
You hired a soccer star to be in this ad, and you're just, like, just hoping we all totally are... Like, know what's going on here.
It almost makes you wonder, like, did they see the backlash from the Wells Fargo stuff, like, in the early days of the World Cup?
And cut out, like, all the close-ups.
Just, dude, no close-ups. Take out his name.
So
don't,
like,
don't even remind people.
Honestly, like, that's a possibility.
That's what I'm saying.
They went in and re-edited it to
and
where
like, hey,
he's barely in it.
Chop it a little bit. Chop it.
Because it is bizarre that they have Landon Donovan, that should, you know, it's recognizable to all soccer fans. But again, you're not... You want this broadcast and obviously the campaigns with it to appeal to everybody that's hopping in and checking out, you know, the World Cup. You pay this guy all this money to come in and do this ad, and, like, you barely even let the audience
know who it is.
I think you're on something. I think they totally had to go in and re-edit it.
It's awesome. I love that.
That's amazing.
I can't wait until we have an American Fiasco podcast that covers this in 10 years' time. Any other ads that really irking you at this point?
No. I mean, again, though, like, it's just – you're at this point in the cup where
– you just want something fresh.
Because it's luckily, we're dealing with soccer here where there's very minimal commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this happens in March Madness where there's like the same four ads.
And you're like, oh my God.
And they're going to commercial every 5 minutes.
Yeah. So at least we're not getting that type of overkill. Well, let's move on to then our reflective portion of this podcast and go back in time to a place long, long ago.
Yeah.
Friendlier times.
Yeah.
2006.
The year was 2006.
That's right. And we were in the heart of mainland Europe and Germany for what was a fabulous World Cup.
Yeah.
Just...
What were you doing in the summer of 06?
2006, I just graduated college.
Yeah.
I was...
Was that when you went on one of those crazy trips to Mexico where you almost killed yourself? Because you did that a couple times, didn't you?
That I... Well, there was only one where I nearly killed myself, at least in a physical capacity. That was in 2005, luckily. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, so you...
I'd recovered in time.
So at that point, you were like, all right, I'm going to plan a different kind of trip. For 2006?
In 2006, I was wrapping up my second season in PDL and had just literally finished, I think, a tour of, like, USL teams. I'd done a trial in Toronto, another one in Pittsburgh, and then literally spent 2 weeks in Hershey, Pennsylvania, playing with the now rebranded Harrisburg City Islanders. So, yeah, that's what I was doing. And then I came back and was waiting tables. Living with my parents and basically being literally, I told my work, like, do not schedule me for a lunch shift. Because I will not work it. I was like, I will do every goddamn dinner shift in June, but I will not work a lunch shift because I'll be watching the World Cup. And the first week they scheduled me for like 3 lunch shifts and I just didn't show up. And luckily, for whatever reason, they chose not to fire me.
They were that desperate.
And I got to keep my job. But that's what I spent the summer drinking in the mornings and early afternoons and then going and waiting tables. Probably a little more buzz than I should have been.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had given up on the dream of pro soccer at that point. Nothing had really worked out. Boy. So I was enjoying myself. How about yourself?
I was, it was summer.
Mm-hmm.
Between some college year.
Yeah.
I was working, actually I had just moved back that spring to Ohio and was transferring to Wright State.
Okay.
Moving back from Alabama.
Yeah.
And that summer I got a job working catering for a Moe's, Southwest burrito grill place.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with it, it's kind of like a,
it's like Chipotle.
It's like Chipotle, but with more options.
Yeah, because you can get nachos, you can get quesadillas. Well, you technically eat quesadillas.
I liked getting the combos. You guys had like good, like you get like 2 tacos and like chips. And when I lived in Louisville,
and we had like fish. We had fish options too. Like you get fish tacos.
Oh yeah, that's right.
If you're really weird, you could probably order a fish burrito. It wasn't on the menu, but we'd make it for you
if you knew how to ask
for
it.
A creep.
Yeah.
But it was great because, like, I worked with, the majority of the people I worked with there were, like, Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
And they obviously were all about it. So, like, it was pretty much the 3 guys that made all the food in the back that mm-hmm. were Mexican and then me, like, just doing a really poor job of work those days.
And then
we just kept like,
over and watching
we
TV.
Just kept like just filtering out into like the front of a house where we had a couple TVs mm-hmm. with games on.
That's what I liked about Moe's. They always had televisions.
Yeah.
It's weird. We were both working at Mexican restaurants that summer.
Yeah.
That's just a weird little irony. But 2000 World Cup or 2006 World Cup was not necessarily about our Mexican dining experiences. It was about, so many more things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we reached out to everyone once again to get their opinions on what their favorite memories were from there. Gage Magoto, a guy who always finds time to contribute. Thanks, Gage. He offered up. He was sadly not even a soccer fan at this point, and he was 13, which makes me feel really old. But that said, no worries, Gage. Not everyone had their shit together at that point in their lives. So
he said he was into whatever. He was preoccupied.
Yeah, I asked him, like, well, what were you into then? And he was like, oh, you know, doing the things that 13-year-old kids do, like ride bikes and
coming to terms with puberty.
Yeah, right. what are these hormones that are what is happening all my to my decisions? Body? Yeah, we've all been there, Gage. One of the things that I thought was kind of weird, you know, Gage, this was he wasn't yet into soccer. Someone else, this was new for them from the World Cup experiences. Both Messi and Ronaldo, this was their first World Cup.
Mm.
A little fun fact.
Look at that.
Neither one of them really did anything of note.
No, in fact, they did not win the young player of the tournament. Would you like to guess who did?
Ooh.
So not Messi, not Ronaldo, not obviously what ended up being two of the greatest ever.
Oh, I think I know this one. Wasn't it the German striker who had all the goals? I can't think of it right now.
I mean, there was a German striker that did have all the goals and won the Golden Boot, but he was not young.
Oh, okay, maybe. Was it close at that point?
Not young. Okay. Not young. Did win Golden Boot, so let's scratch that off. You do have that one.
All right.
But you actually also do have the team correct.
Okay. Ooh, man. Oh, Thomas Mueller.
No.
Oh, really?
That was the... We did that last...
Okay. It was the last one. 2010. Okay, I'm going to make one more stab here.
Do you want me to give you a hint?
Yeah.
Gunnar.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Mertesacker?
No.
Really?
Podolski.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. He did have a good World Cup this run out. Yeah.
Podolski was your young player of the tournament.
Sometimes I even forget that he even played for Arsenal at all. That's pretty good.
We'll go through these real quickly since we're on it. Player of the tournament.
Player of the tournament.
You already said. You already named some people... It was none of those. There was no repeat. Yeah.
So the winners were Italy. Correct. Is it an Italian?
No.
Hmm. Maybe Fat Ronaldo? He broke the World Cup scoring record in this tournament?
Fat Ronaldo?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure.
There was a pretty famous moment. In this tournament,
mm-hmm. Was Zidane named as the best player?
Zidane was named as the best player.
It's not a wrong thing to think, but it's such an infamous World Cup,
right? Him. So you'd think, oh, well, that was just the microcosm of his tournament. No, actually, besides that, he actually was amazing.
So I went and looked this down. Zidane's it may even be career defining for him, right? As a player. The headbutt is inescapable,
mm-hmm.
mind-boggling on the level
right.
at which he had a breakdown of that kind of catastrophic size. Zidane had one goal, had no goals in the group stage, which everyone was kind of like, oh, and he was the marquee player of the tournament.
Right.
Like, going into it, everyone was worshiping at him, and rightfully so. He ended up missing the last group stage because he picked up two yellows in the first two matches. In his first match back,
foreshadowing, what was to come.
In the first match in the knockout round, he had a goal in the 3-1 win against Spain.
Mm-hmm.
In the quarterfinal against Brazil, while Henri had a free kick goal to win it for France,
mm-hmm.
Zidane was man of the match. Was legitimately a magician. Like, if you have some spare time, go back and watch that France-Brazil game.
Yeah.
Zidane is on a completely different level than everyone else on the field. And if you've ever doubted his ability level, that's a match that would be a great way of like being like, oh, crap, this guy is amazing. Then in the semifinal, he had the penalty kick winner over Portugal. And then this is the ultimate icing on the cake. In the game, he's known for headbutting and getting kicked out and his team ultimately losing in the World Cup final. He actually gave France the lead in like the 8th minute. And it was, again, a penalty. But he Panenka'd the penalty. and smooth as butter, like didn't even really celebrate, just turned around like he'd done it a gajillion times before.
But a Panenka in the World Cup, I mean the balls the size of church bells.
Holy crap. And it was just so like second nature.
Yeah.
People forget about that Panenka. But to me, I remember like watching that final and being like, oh my God, this is, and we all knew he was retiring after this game. That's like, he was done being a professional soccer player after this match. So we knew. And it's like, holy shit, this guy just cemented his legacy as like one of the best ever players. This is, again, this is when Messi and Ronaldo were babes of the game, highly touted babes, but
right.
nowhere near in the discussion of greatest ever player. And Zidane was scraping that discussion at that point. When a player does that, and imagine France had lifted the trophy, that would have completely cemented him into the discussion of best ever players.
Right.
Now we don't talk about him in that same vein because no. Materazzi said some mean things about his mom and sister.
Before we get back to let's go. Other moments that people threw out there?
We had a really strange one from our good buddy Jason Ridge.
Oh, yes.
He said that, I'm just going to read this verbatim, that time when I was winding down the path in Kaiserslautern from the Frankenstadion after the US-Italy game, and an Italian fan wouldn't fight me. Good times. What a fun trip.
We had him clarify this.
I was like, wait a minute. Did you mean to say that you didn't fight the guy? Did you want to? What was going on? Apparently he totally wanted to fight the guy.
But the guy wouldn't fight him.
And the guy wouldn't fight him. And probably a good decision given that there were like armed police officers all the way around here.
Oh, yeah.
So great story. One that it's probably fairly certain aside from him and some Italian guy don't remember at all. So no. Great story that's being put out there into the World Cup memories of the 10 or so people who listen to this regularly. I think outside of that, I don't think we really had any other contributions.
So let's just go down some things from this tournament.
Oh, we did have one other one. And mm-hmm. it's U.S. related, so it's...
Okay. I'm going to get what happened with them here in a second.
Yeah, well, let's hold off on this one. No, because it's relevant to the entire discussion okay. of the group itself, so...
So let's talk about what the U.S. did.
Yeah.
The U.S. did not advance out of the group stages.
No.
They had 0 wins, 1 draw.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 losses. The draw was actually came against Italy. And that was, that was kind of the shining moment
mm-hmm.
of this tournament.
Yeah.
So they scored actually only 1 goal themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
The other goal was actually an own goal.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the Italy match.
Italy game,
own goal. So they only scored 1 goal. It mm-hmm. was against Ghana in a 2-1 defeat. Who was their lone goal scorer of the tournament?
Who? Was it Clint Dempsey?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was Deuce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Glad I've got some of these things right today. Yeah. U.S. were undoubtedly drawn into the group of death, by the way. This is something worth remembering from this tournament.
Yeah.
Italy, Czech Republic, and Ghana, all 3 of those teams were ranked in the top 20. Mm-hmm. I think actually all 3 were in the top 15. The U.S., I think, were as well, or at least pretty close to that, too. U.S. finished bottom of that group, which was kind of a disappointment given they'd made it to the quarterfinals in 2002.
Right.
So there's high expectations. This young crop of players that had come through, and Donovan and Beasley, and Tim Howard, everyone kind of felt confident. Like, hey, this is a group that could potentially take us on to bigger and better things. And once that draw came out, we all kind of were like, well,
never mind.
Never mind about that. 3-0 loss to the Czechs. You mentioned the 1-1 draw with Italy. This was one Matt Brew, our good buddy, sent in as his memory. The 1-1 draw with Italy is my favorite memory from that World Cup. McBride playing 60 minutes bloodied with a broken face, and then the team gutting out to draw down to 9 men, the quintessential tie that feels like a win. It was a fantastic result. Gave us hope at the time after the initial.
So you're like, all right, we just got to take care of business against Ghana. Get
and
something out of that.
The rivalry with Ghana became cemented this World Cup.
Yep.
That was the one where it all came to fruition. It didn't work out, obviously, for the U.S. They finished bottom of the group. And thank God their soccer Twitter wasn't quite the thing it was at that point. That would have been a disaster in waiting.
Was Big Soccer around at the time? Was that?
Oh, Big Soccer was definitely around at the time. I think that's
actually. I think Big Soccer may reappear here in a minute.
Oh, fun! other things that were great from this World Cup. Do you have any other memories?
Oh yeah. So Angola
mm-hmm.
qualified for their lone World Cup in 2006.
Yeah.
Was it Flavio or whatever?
Yeah.
Was their striker? Mm-hmm. I think. They actually, and they didn't play terribly.
No, they weren't bad.
Like, they held Mexico to mm-hmm. a 0-0 draw in the group stage. ended up finishing third in their group, to never be heard from again, really, as far as the
may not even
stage
be a
goes.
Country anymore. Not even sure.
Serbia actually was Serbia and Montenegro in this World Cup.
Weird.
This was before the split and after they were, Yugoslavia?
Yeah.
So this was the transition period, I guess.
Multiple cleavings in there.
Yeah. This was that transition period. So Montenegro technically was a part of this World Cup.
Yes, they were.
That team did terribly.
Yeah.
Lost all their matches. Goal differential -9. Pretty awesome. This will also be a World Cup remembered for a Croatian player getting 3 yellows in a match.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So he was given a yellow in the 61st minute against Australia. Then in the 90th minute. But for some reason wasn't sent off and also didn't learn his lesson because 2 minutes later he got a third yellow, at which point he was sent off.
That's awesome. Just fantastic.
So there was that one. And then to even outdo that one, we had the Portugal-Netherlands round of 16 match that is dubbed the Battle of Nuremberg as – it was a super physical match. I think Luis Figo got into a couple altercations. This was 16 yellows put out in this match. This is a record 16 cards, 4 of which were second yellows. So you also had 4 people sent off in this match.
Just fantastic stuff.
I believe Sepp Blatter, after the match, called out the ref and then had to quickly backspin out of that.
Yeah, that's right. The early days of Sepp.
Because he was basically saying – he basically said stuff to the effect of the ref was not at the level of the players in that match. And then he had to walk it back.
Probably not something the president of FIFA should be
right. Yeah, probably. Probably not. Probably not. So the other thing that we want to hit on is what, if you're an American, 2006 World Cup was also known for, which was ESPN falling flat on their face as far as doing the job you think they're capable of doing when it comes to broadcasting a World Cup.
Yeah.
They decided to make some adjustments. 2002 World Cup was a bit different for them. Most of the games were on in the middle of the night. A lot of their big matches were repackaged and played on ABC and ESPN the next day, or if it was a Saturday, throughout the day they'd play those. This was hey, we're back in Europe where we can, it makes sense for us to do everything live, and we can, send our own guys there. So they decided to do something that almost happened this year. We joked about it last week, Gus Johnson, and about how he was originally tabbed to be the voice of the 2018 World Cup.
Right.
And how tragic that would have been if that actually happened. In 2006, it happened. Dave O'Brien,
oh my God,
a baseball play-by-play announcer, was tapped to be the A-team play-by-play guy for the World Cup, sent there, and he was going to be put on all the marquee ones, including, the final.
Right.
Because this was, one of the first World Cups, I think, where they actually had half of their broadcast teams were doing it from studios in Bristol. And that was actually seen as, just a very, oh, I can't believe they're doing this.
Right.
Can't believe they're not even sending some of their guys. Some of the guys are going to do it from a studio where they're just watching monitors. That's terrible. That's not the future of television. Turns out it's the future of television.
Yeah, exactly.
So O'Brien and then a lot of the other guys they brought in got heavily criticized for how they did their broadcast. O'Brien it was pointed out that he would mispronounce names. He'd use the wrong soccer terminology. Again, this is the guy that was the A broadcaster. But he was a guy that also just didn't watch soccer. He wasn't a soccer guy in the least. It wasn't like he was a play-by-play guy who, okay, he hadn't done soccer before, but he knows the sport really well because it's something he has a passion for. No. They just picked him. They just said, hey, would you like to do this? And he was like, yeah.
Sure.
okay, hopefully the Red Sox will give me, you know, a month off in the summer to go do this. He punched back, though.
Mm-hmm.
He was heavily criticized. There was a petition was started to remove him from the broadcast. That petition actually started before the World Cup.
It's great.
Days
so, before, by the way, before there was petition.org.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's a quote that he threw out there when he was asked kind of midway through the tournament. He was kind of interviewed about how things were going. There's kind of a petulant little clique of soccer fans. There's not many of them, but they're mean-spirited, and they're really not even the audience we're trying to reach anyways.
Hmm.
I feel like that's got to be some of the big soccer guys.
Oh, it's definitely the big soccer guys. And, you know, it's funny, one of soccer Twitter's most notorious trolls was birthed in big soccer.
Yeah.
Tinfoil Ted.
Yeah.
He literally got a start there. So, yeah, that you forget about how bad some of those broadcasts were.
Yeah.
But, too, at that point, like, it was still the World Cup. I still got on with myself. And just the enjoyment of being able to watch that was pretty incredible in its own right. So,
yeah, there was a thing where I guess like a lot of the soccer diehards actually watched more Univision that year.
Yeah, that was definitely the first time that I started watching in Spanish. But I think I was just really excited because it was a World Cup that I didn't have to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning to watch games or get up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. That's really something that I treasured at that point. And I think I could get over the crappy commentating because it was still the World Cup, man. Like, this hasn't been the best World Cup for commentating either, but I'm still enjoying the hell out of it. So,
yeah.
Well, we did get one last submission, Lori Berg. She said her favorite song, actually from the games themselves, but their 9-year-old son correctly picked Italy to win in a contest for the Cincinnati Kings.
Oh,
so,
nice.
The t-shirt they won out of that one. So kind of a cool little memory there from Lori. The only other memory that I wanted to throw out, there are loads of them. We're going to forget many of them.
Sure.
But the one that really stood out to me when outside of the headbutt, there was one moment that just clearly jumped out. Do you remember the Ronaldo wink?
Yes.
This was the most impactful thing that Ronaldo did at this tournament. This was at
the beginning of
his kind of rise and mm-hmm. where he started really doing the flashy step overs. And he just had this kind of spark and flair to him that attracted people to him. But he took on his current Manchester United teammate, Wayne Rooney, in I think it was the first knockout round. Portugal ended up winning that match.
Talking about DC United's very own Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, I am.
Whoa.
And Rooney was sent off for stamping, and I say loosely stamping, on Ronaldo. He didn't really. He'd gotten kind of away with another one a couple minutes beforehand that was not called. And ultimately, Rooney ends up seeing red. Disgrace for England once again on the international level. And in the melee that is following the red carding, Ronaldo is caught on camera winking at the Portugal bench.
I do remember this.
And literally, English soccer ate itself over this. It was just fantastic. The amount of, if you recall the Premier League season that followed, every time Ronaldo touched the ball, everywhere they went, he got poured on with booze. It was incredible. Loads of whistling and booze. Like, it was deafening at times. Just one of my favorite all-time moments from that World Cup was just that wink and how much crap flowed from it for the next 6 months afterward. So incredible World Cup, Italy, of course, the winners, over France in that dramatic World Cup final,
mm-hmm.
With 2006 now reviewed.
Yep.
That means that we'll be on to 2002 for the next special. Mm-hmm. So if you've got stories that you want to share from your memories of 2002.
That means we're going to record it at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, that seems like the only way to do it. Just to show proper honor to that tournament. And what we all had to go through then.
Yep.
So we'll be reviewing fun those. Time. If you have any memories you would like to contribute, shoot them to us. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram even, I'm sure. I'll offer up the email address. But literally no one knows to email us or ever does anymore. So It's just people offering to do sponsored articles on the website for betting websites.
Yay.
Yeah, those won't happen. That leaves us then to our last segment, winners and wankers.
My winner, Twitter goof extraordinaire, Mishi Batshuayi, had a field day with himself.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. This was great.
If you missed it, after Adnan Yanazai hit in that faithful goal, Batshuayi then kicked the ball in celebration into the post, and it smacked him straight in the face.
Oh, it was incredible. It was almost like he planned to do that for social media purposes. Because he lives in that goofy realm.
He is.
That's his space.
That's where he operates. Mm-hmm. But he immediately then took it to Twitter to just completely rip himself.
Well, that's the best way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go down in glory
self-deprecating humor.
Self-deprecating is the best way to save yourself. And maybe the only way.
Yeah.
So, good for Mr. Batshuayi. It's heavily enjoyable. I'm glad that's gotten him a winner out of you.
Ah, he's always a winner for me.
I'm glad you enjoy him. So, yeah. Mine, I'm going a little bit more serious on mine. I'm giving mine to Colin Martin, the Minnesota United midfielder who announced himself as openly gay this past weekend. The only active player, I think, in Major League Soccer. Is Robbie Rogers still around?
He is not around.
Yeah. I think he's the only active player in MLS that's now openly gay. There are undoubtedly others, and we
right because I mean he said he
knows
his teammates have known this for
a long time,
several seasons.
Yeah, and a huge moment for him, and for persecuted and kind of marginalized populations in the sport. Just can't praise how awesome it is that he's you know, feeling the courage enough to do that. So. Great news for him. I'm going to tie my wanker into this, though, as well.
Oh, wonderful. Can't imagine where that's going to go, then.
It was huge that he did this on Pride Night. This was actually Pride Night for Minnesota United.
Right, so this past Friday.
Yeah. Minnesota United, currently out of the playoff positions, not really in a good position to find their way back into them.
Newsflash, they're not good.
They opted to not play him at all in this match.
I did find that out. In fact, I actually tuned in because I got the ESPN Plus. And that's how I roll on a Friday night when I got nothing to do. Just turn on whatever MLS game is up for watching. And I figured like, oh, well, certainly they're going
to give him at least.
In fact, appearance. I even was like somewhat shocked that he didn't even make the starting 11. Like,
yeah,
they're going to make this big to do. Like,
get
put him in.
Yeah. And then maybe I was like, oh, well, maybe they'll give him a late cameo so he gets an awesome, like,
the huge reception.
Yeah,
oh,
that'd be really cool. They didn't do that at all.
No.
And I'm not saying that they had to do that, right? Like, you got to pick your best 11. I totally get that. I went into some of their forums to try to get an idea, like, were people mad about that? There was definitely a large population that were. But also the idea of that, like, they thought he would have actually been helpful in the situation they were in. They lost the match, by the way.
Yeah.
But just
1-0.
It's Pride Night. If you're really trying to show that you're like being open and inclusive, the guy who just announced that he was gay, why wouldn't you have given him that opportunity?
To be fair, we don't know if maybe they approached him that and he would be like, hey, I don't want to just be put in just for the sake of gesture. Like,
that's true.
You know, he's an athlete. He wants to earn stuff
on
merit.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. I just think it's it rings a little hollow when a guy announces.
Wait, totally thought it was gonna. They were gonna put him in.
It's incredible that they didn't. And maybe a wanker is a little too rough on them in this sense, but I felt like he was owed that opportunity. So, there's my wanker.
All righty.
How about yours?
Back to Goofy Town. Columbus Crew, I don't know if you're into them, going through some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Things.
So there's like that pitch off to the side that they let kids play on.
Oh, yeah, it's been there for a while.
Yeah, I've been there for years.
Always covered in children running around playing.
Kicking balls into goals, into smaller goals for them. Not this past week, or at least that's the earliest we've... It's kind of been said on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The goals aren't there anymore. Instead, two cardboard boxes for kids to kick the ball between. Two just cardboard boxes. Not sure if there's anything in them.
Look, they're not obligated to provide that field for kids to play on.
Right? But, like, you know, if you're going to put an effort in, put an effort in. Plus those goals at one point existed.
I've seen them there.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've kicked a ball into them.
Before. They at one time existed.
Yeah.
They don't anymore.
Maybe instead. Maybe they're using those parts to fix that railing.
Well, or, you know, all those health code violations that they've had. Maybe that's what the boxes were. They were new mousetraps. And they're like, hey, what are we going to use in these empty, empty box that had all the new mousetraps? Put
cheese under there. Get a stick and a string and just be ready to go. All right. Back into Goofy Town. Back into Goofy Town indeed. Well, that's a great way to sum up and call an end to the show with just the highlight of it, undoubtedly.
There's a good picture out there of just
the boxes.
The two boxes. I've seen for kids picture. To kick. Kick a ball between.
Definitely a great picture. If you want to get involved in next week's show, do it. Just put yourself out there. Yeah. No one will judge you too heavily for getting.
I mean, I feel like we are trending this direction though. We are asking about World Cups that took place farther and farther back, which means a lot of our audience. Like this is the last one we'll be doing where I vividly remember watching a match live. I may have watched one in 94, one or two.
We're going to have some weird stories for me.
98, I can safely say I was completely out on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a single member of 98. Have memories of 02.
Yeah.
A little bit of 94. But I'm sure there's others that are kind of like, yeah. There's a lot more gauge guys out there that are like, I was like way too young. Like,
Deb wasn't even into it at that point.
Yeah.
So, we'll worry not.
We need to lean on you.
I'll have plenty of memories.
You out there that have.
Yeah. They're coming.
Yeah. They're 2002. Coming. Let's hear those stories about waking up way too early.
Oh, yes. You'll get some. Thanks for listening in. It's been fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.